Okay, this is Monday night, and hang on a second, I better... Okay, that's better. This is Monday night, and it's been free Monday night conference call, and this is a simulcast with a group of people that are on a phone line, and BBS Radio, which is being broadcast over the internet and is accessible anywhere in the planet. And it is an experiment in multidimensional communication. And by that, we mean a connection both verbally and vibrationally with what we believe are positive, helpful, communicative intelligences in other dimensions that have the ability to connect up with us. We can expand our fields to the space where they can receive us. I guess that's the best way of saying it. And so this has been going on as a conference call now for quite some time, and it's a result of a bunch of communications I had, not that I looked to have this, not that I ever dreamed of doing this. Nonetheless, a number of communications that were, I guess, come under the category called channeling of speaking to intelligences in other dimensions. And myself being quite scientific and quite skeptical, I wasn't really ready to believe very easily that this was real and that I could trust them. And I went through quite a bit of due diligence, scrutinizing, cross-referencing to come to the conclusion that maybe I had it right. And that that I decided it was quite a responsibility if I did have it right. And it was something that was important to share with others and give others the opportunity to check it out themselves. So this conference call that we're doing is one of the things that was the result of that experimentation. And I would say that over a period of time that it has been quite successful. And that the people that are on the call, many of them have had kind of direct experience that this was going on. Some of them are probably still checking it out. And I always tell people, just check it out. Don't believe anything. Just because you might be predisposed, but at least keep your critical faculties in check and keep checking things out and your own reference points. Chuck,
can you speak up, Wynn?
Can I speak up? I'm a little low.
Yes.
Okay. Is that better?
That's got better. Good.
Thank you. I'm actually connected ways now. I'm connected directly to BBS, directly to the conference call. And Terry, are you on the line? Terry is on the line. He is a moderator tonight. Tell, otherwise I would have heard her. Let me unmute her, and let's hold it. Terry, are you on the line? Hello, Terry. Okay. Now, I've got to mute everybody because I have two microphones on tonight, and my microphone onto BBS, I hope it's not creating a huge echo on BBS since, hang on a second. There we go. Everybody's muted. When I unmute everybody, then my voice comes on in my earphone on the second phone, delayed. hung up my other line, and he's just casting the conference call. So, because there was an echo. We can't do it this way. Technical experiment about how we're doing this. Okay, so why should this be real? What are the indications? I thought I might share some of the steps I've gone through to come to the conclusion that this might be real and that we actually are getting accurate sources of information. I know that just prior to coming on the line, I heard people talking, and I guess they were talking about there's a little bit of controversy about shock spinning, the idea of Merkaba spinning, and is it possible to do a Merkaba technique long and have the opposite effect of what you're intending to happen? And according to the information we're getting, the answer to that is yes, it is possible. And originally, when I first asked the question about Merkaba techniques, I guess that was in 2002, and I asked the question to Quo. And of course, those of you who are on our line regularly know that Quo is who call the Rucker channels, and we do it every Tuesday. We do a Quo reading on our line, and I had the opportunity to interview Quo in 2002, and I did that for the magazine I was writing for at the time, and I asked a question about Merkaba techniques, and although they did not say anything to the extent that they were negative or that they were that they could go the wrong direction, they did say their recommendation was that the best way to connect with higher dimensions was through the group matrix that people can create with each other. In other words, they said a good friend, a good partner, a good job, passion for life. All those things are things which automatically connect you into a higher matrix. And so Quo said that those things were better than techniques. They were more in touch with the essence of life flow, as opposed to a technique. Now, I didn't really pursue it any further and just left it at that. Then it came up that someone was teaching flows in one direction, and then someone else who had written a book said that that was a technique that had its opposite effect, and some of the people in our group were questioning that. So I felt it responsible to ask my sources about whether what they thought. And they kind of conferred that clockwise was the right direction. Now, I heard on the call that the way it works was it's clockwise in front of you and then counterclockwise behind you. And I'm not sure if that's correct or not. And, you know, one of the things is I don't want to be deciding what's right or wrong. It seems to me, I'm trying to think, if there's an energy flow coming through you and it keeps flowing in the same direction on the other side of you, would it appear to change directions if you're looking frontwards? It might. I don't know. I have to think about that. In any case, I started to talk about, and I thought this would be an interesting call to do this on, what are the steps that I had to go through to figure out that there was some legitimacy to these voices talking to me. The first thing started out, of course, with writing the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, and that David Wilcock was channeling this voice that identified itself as Ra, and they called themselves a social memory complex, and that they were composed of graduates of this realm, and that what they did was they were a group energy that was helping people who were still stuck in this realm to understand how this realm works and how to get out of this realm. And, of course, that was my very first introduction to the idea of a group soul or a social memory complex. And the story for David Wilcock being Edgar Cayce, or the return of Edgar Cayce, was very compelling, and I'm sure you've all heard it. If you haven't, if you're listening on BBS, you can go to the website caseysback.com and read a little bit about it. And I urge you to read the book, because there are so many things tying this guy to Edgar Cayce that statistically, whether he is the return of Cayce or not, statistically, he's got connections of billions to one. He's the spitting image of Cayce. His father's the image of Casey's father. He's got many people in his life that look like people who are in Cayce's life. And as I am studying David and studying his channelings, which I immediately recognized as having huge wisdom in them, immediately there was a connection. As I was reading the channelings, I said, there's no way that this guy could possibly make this up. And this level of wisdom is quite extraordinary. And they were giving guidance to readers, or people who were paying attention to David's channelings. And the guidance was fairly impeccable. Attitude is everything. One of the chapters in the book, it's Healing the Original Wound. In terms of spiritual treatises, they were quite impeccable. And then, of course, there was the explanation for this dimensional shift, this end of a 75,000-year cycle. And this was the very first time I was exposed to this idea. And I said, well, I really don't know if this is true or not. I can't prove it. I know that Wilcock is connected to Cayce. I know that they're wise. And I know they're giving very, very good guidance in terms of their wisdom. But are we really in a dimensional shift? Are we really in the end of a cycle? How is this connected to Jesus? And, of course, there's a chapter in the book that talks about ascension. And now we're really going over the deep end in terms of anything that I could possibly personally validate. But I was putting it in the book and I was studying it. And as I was doing this, there was many references that David was making to a woman by the name of Carla Ruckert. And Carla Ruckert supposedly was channeling the same Ra, the same group soul, social memory complex, in 1981 through 1985, and she had five books out. So I immediately started studying her books, trying to see the correlations. And there were many correlations between Carla Ruckert's Ra and the Ra coming through David. They didn't quite have the same personality, but as I've learned that when you're channeling a group soul, usually the personality is somewhat affected by the person channeling. Now, in Carla Ruckert's state, she was in a deep trance, so maybe she was a purer channel. I know she thinks so, and I think she might be right. She was able to go beyond her personality and bring through the words of Ra. And in her channelings, there was the mention that Ra had connected with a high priest of Egypt 10,500 years ago, and that they built the pyramids with that high priest by levitation. Now, I had studied Edgar Cayce quite deeply, and I remembered that Edgar Cayce had a life in Egypt in that same period of time, and he was a high priest. And he never talked about a group Sol Ra, but he did say that he built the pyramids by levitation of rock. And to me, this was an extraordinary tie-in, validating many of the premises. Now, why did Ra not introduce himself to Edgar Cayce as Ra? I would say the reason was Edgar Cayce started out as a fundamentalist Christian. And for 20 years, they only did health meetings with Edgar Cayce because they were building their credibility with Cayce, because if they were too far over the edge, Cayce would have thought there was something negative to what he was doing, and he would have dumped it. So for 20 years, they never talked about reincarnation. They never talked about future prophecy. They never talked about astrology, greater cosmology. They only did health readings. And Cayce was right almost all of the time, using medical terms that he didn't know, and he was in a trance. So my feeling is that they never identified themselves as a group soul, because that idea might have caused Cayce to feel there was something weird about his readings and stop it. Although Cayce did believe it was the Christ speaking through him. And they identified themselves as his source. So the contention is the same Lagrope was speaking through Edgar Cayce, speaking through Carla Rucker, and speaking through David Wilcock. And I am writing the book, and I'm putting all this together in my mind, and I'm saying, my gosh, this is a take on reality or other dimensions that I've never heard anyone put together before. This idea of multiple lifetimes, graduating, turning in, joining a group soul, and then helping people who are still stuck here. And I said, could I have it right? I couldn't believe I was uncovering such a huge new paradigm of how things worked. But there was nothing that made me believe, there were no indications to this premise. So I just kept going on. And then, of course, while I'm writing this book, while I'm kind of just blowing myself away on all these realizations, but I'm operating from a scholarly mental point of view at this point, I have the experience, as you all probably know, with Daphne, where I meet her and we're taking a drive, and does anybody want to talk to me? And she starts channeling on the spot. And over a period of months, there is this voice coming through Daphne that identifies itself as the Council of Elohim. And I remember thinking, could I trust this? Who are these intelligences talking to me? I'm writing this book, and I've learned to trust the Ra group. I've learned to see how they operate. I'm starting to think they have to be real. And they're made up of graduates of this realm. And now this voice is talking to me that says they haven't come into this realm. They've stayed as pure energy, but they can beam into this realm, and that I'm communicating with them. And, you know, for months this went by, and I just didn't create a strong opinion about it. I said, I'm just going to see what happens. And it was not an easy time, as Daphne would be the first to tell you, because we were having these extraordinary conversations, and those are available if anyone wants to read them, on Conversations with My Girlfriend, the whole original story. And if you haven't gone through that website, I highly recommend you do. ConversationsWithMyGirlfriend.com, and there is the story of what happened to me, and the original communications, or transcripts of them, which were all taped. So this is all on record. This is not, you know, there's no way I can make any of this up. And of course, I had two phenomena during this period of time that were the prediction of a newspaper headline and the saving of my sister's life in a medical miracle. That certainly caught my attention. And then another thing happened during this period of time where, I don't talk about this that often, but I have talked about it sometimes at one of the workshops, the Egyptian Connection workshop, where I asked the question, how do I connect with other dimensions? I had all kinds of synchronicities in my life. I was very aware that there was something going on that I didn't really quite understand. And they said, pay attention to your dreams, and you'll connect with other dimensions. So at that point, I started writing my dreams down. And in those dreams, in the morning, when I went to look at the piece of paper, and expecting to find stories of weird stories of where I was in my dreams, I found messages. And I found messages very similar to the way this started for David Wilcock, who I was now a scholar of. And the messages, the first grouping of messages said, you're supposed to be the front man. You have to look tall and thin. We're not doing this for entertainment. It has a serious purpose. It's the insanity of passion that makes things happen in the real world. Well, and then communication from another dimension. Just like Casey, he slept to connect with this dimension. Well, I'm going a little bit crazy myself. I have Daphne talking to me with his voice that identifies itself as the Council of Elohim. I've got what seems to be the rod rope giving me dream messages. And an extraordinary thing that I put together at that time was, in the year 2000, I had a reading from David Wilcock. And I had the voice that comes through him identifying itself as Ra. And at that time, my life was fairly in a mess. And I really didn't know what I was going to do with the rest of my life. There were times where I said, if I have to continue in the way that I'm doing right now, because I had gotten caught up in making a living, doing something I had no passion for, didn't want to do. I had thought that my highest expression was music and writing songs, and I had just let it go, and I never completed my original idea of being successful at that. And this voice that came through David Wilcock told me that I had unplayed, let's see, how did they describe it? Unplayed coins, and unused coins in the jukebox of my soul, and that there were possibilities of things that I couldn't even imagine from where I was sitting. This was in 2000. And then they closed the reading by saying, watch your dreams, and we'll be giving you more guidance. Listen to the space in between your words and you'll find us there. Now, I didn't believe this at the time. I said, they probably say this to everybody. And I just went on, and I had interviewed David, and I ended up committing to writing the book. And then 2 years later, I put a pad by my bed. I wake up, and I'm writing things down. And suddenly, what seems to be the rock roof is giving me messages. 2 years after the reading from David, where they said they would do that. You know, I'm sharing this because I'm telling you the steps that unfolded for me that made it real that I'm actually doing this. Because like you, like most of us, I'm a human that has gone through my life with my distortions and my veils, and I don't believe things easily. And they put me through a course of experience where it was impossible for me not to take it seriously. And so now, of course, the story happens with Daphne leaving and Terry starting the channel, and they seem to be tracking me, and I kept thinking, the thought crossed my mind, could this be a negative force that's trying to distract me from writing my book? Because I had come to the conclusion that Ra was very important and positive to put out Planet. But there were no indications that that could be the case, because over and over again, they kept giving me guidance on getting the book out. And they were supporting the voice that identified itself as the Elohim, were very, very supportive of the book and the Ra group and getting the Ra group messages out onto the planet. And so, that was the beginning of my experience that made me decide that I was onto something. And then, for those of you that read Questions and Answers with the Elohim, I had this experience with Terry where I had read that interdimensional forces could manifest in this realm through orbs. I'm sure many of you have seen pictures of little round circles around people when there's a spiritual meeting, and they seem to float around. And I had read that orbs were an expression of an interdimensional source projecting into this realm. So I'm having a conversation with this voice that says they're the Elohim through Terry, and I ask them, I said, so can you guys project an orb in the room? Since they were an interdimensional source and I'm in the physical realm, but let me see if you can do that because I want to see an orb. And they said that they already had an orb, but it was so big that I couldn't see it. It went from the sky all the way to under, into the earth, and it was hundreds and hundreds of feet around, and that they were projecting into that realm. And as I looked into the room, I could feel the energy of their projection. I could see the energy. It's kind of like I've been able to see energy in rooms. I never understood it, except I could tell. I remember years ago, I think I told this story before, I used to go to the spiritual teacher, and whenever he talked, I could see this energy drop down around everyone. And I saw that energy in the room with Terry. And Terry could see it also. We were both feeling and experiencing it. And I said, my God, whoever I'm talking to can project this huge energy into my space. Not only that, they can do miracles. They healed my sister. They made predictions. At one point through Daphne, they predicted the homelessness in Louisiana. They talked about the, they didn't say a hurricane. They just said there would be devastation and tens of thousands of people would be homeless on the coast of Louisiana. And of course, it was a year later, a year or two, I can't remember, that that actually happened. And so they're certainly aware of patterns that are far bigger than anything I ever dreamed of anyone being aware of. And so I started to think, maybe I really am talking to the Elohim. Now, here's another one. In 2002, I also interviewed Ra through David Wilcox. It's that is available. If you've never listened to it, I believe it's up on X-Drive. And if you didn't sign up on X-Drive and you request it from Kathy, I'm sure she'll send you the link to this interview. And David was, I believe he was in Louisiana, and I was in California, and we had run a tape recorder, and I had interviewed both Ra with David Wilcock and Quo through Carla Ruckert. And in the interview, there was for the magazine I was writing for. The editor agreed to let me interview these two people or their channels and ask them questions, and she would run the interview, which she did. And in this interview, some of it with David and Ra, it was somewhat technical. And Ra was talking about the energies and the 75,000-year cycle and how we go into peaks and then we back off and we go into peaks and then we back off. And at the end of the interview, suddenly, they add something to it. They added something that they had never said directly through David, to my knowledge. They talked about ascension. They talked through David. They talked about how that would work. And they said in at the end of my interview, and I'm going to paraphrase this, but I'm somewhat close, and we will arrive in your skies, and you must be ready to come with us, or else you'll have to stay behind for the more difficult earth changes. Your bags must be packed, and you must be prepared to let go physical realm. Now, at the time of that interview, I'm thinking, my God, this is an extraordinary responsibility they're taking, because they are now saying they are the ones that are responsible for ascension. They said, we will come for you, and you must be ready. Now, at the time, I transcribed the interview, and I think it was at the end of 2002, and I was still somewhat of a novice at all of this, and I was quite not ready to take any responsibility. Just putting things out and saying, here's what they said, here's the interview, you decide. Then, a little bit later, I'm getting dream readings. And in one of the readings, they said, you can initiate people. And I called up David, and he said, don't ever tell that to anybody. And I was wondering what that meant. And of course, what I started to experiment with how to work this relationship with the, you know, at that point, it was mostly with the Elohim, where when I would talk about them, they would come and be present. And not only could they project an orb in my space that was huge, the experiment was, could they do that for people on a conference line that were all over the world, or certainly all over our planet? And so I asked them, is this a good idea? Could you do that? And they said they could, and they said it was a great idea. So we started doing it as an experiment, and people on the conference line were feeling the energies. Not everyone was totally psychically open to everything, but people would get goosebumps, people would have things happen. People that were a little psychic could feel an energy come into their space. Some of you, as I talk about this, that right now in this moment, can feel that energy moving into your space, because I learned they were paying attention to me and that they wanted to connect with people. And of course, what the Ra group was, that they're a helper for planetary populations at lower levels of evolution, like us. And to be a helper, they need representatives. They need people down here who are able to create a track of reality so other people can start to tune into them. And the first step is you need to have some idea that they really exist, because otherwise it's kind of preposterous. You're walking around in your physical 3D reality, and there's not a lot of evidence in a normal 3D reality that these group souls exist and are real. And it was obvious that they were real. There would never be an atheist, therefore would there? But in this realm, it's like, well, maybe this is real, maybe it isn't. And of course, most things that talk about interdimensional things that are most widespread is religion. And religion is supposed to be taken on faith. And there's very few people that can actually prove religion, although it's my contention at this point of studying this that these group souls are actually using religion to the best that they can to create a bridge into this dimension, and that the traditional concept of God was incorporated perhaps because the way we're learning about it is too complicated. And quite frankly, it's not completely necessary to know all of this. The only thing that's necessary is to learn how to have a pure intent to reach into higher dimensions and to be willing to use that reach as in service to others. And if you can do that, and you reach and you call on God, then you'll get an answer, because they're there and they respond to that energetic call. And if you get an answer and you see it working for you, you don't necessarily need to understand the complexity of all the things that we've learned to understand through all these channelings and through the Quo channelings and Carla Ruckert. We don't need to understand them in our mind, except that most people today are too smart and too skeptical for the traditional religious view. And many people are. So this explanation, for many people, seems to make more sense than traditional religion. And it's giving people a reason to connect and ask, which they might never be able to access through a traditional religious doctrine or explanation of how it works. So that's one of the benefits of this explanation. Another benefit is that many of you are what's called starseeds, who have come into this realm and have had many lives in this realm, but many lives in other realms as well. And that, of course, when you're in this realm, you have no memory of anything. But when you hear something that truly describes how the other realms work, then on a cellular memory, something wakes up. Because as you hear it, the words invoke the realm that we're speaking about. And as they're invoked, if you happen to be one of those people that has had experience in those realms, then you will then immediately, intuitively have all kinds of things go, yes, yes, yes. And it will start bridging the gap between your compression as a human and the parts of you that have spent time as a starseed, or not as a starseed, you're a starseed here, have spent time in spirit form in a far more expanded state than you are in here, and it starts triggering the memories. It also starts triggering the expanded state. And of course, we have ongoing conversations with these guys, and we make them public. And if anyone was skeptical, they'd have to ask themselves, how could we possibly do this? We have two different people channeling. I would look at it as a skeptic and say, this guy couldn't do this. I mean, there's no way we could have this kind of circumstance on an ongoing flow so publicly displayed, so available, with no rehearsal, as you guys know, spontaneously with these communications. So we really have a model for something right now that if someone chooses, as you all have, to investigate it and study it, it withstands scrutiny. It holds its own. The evidence is that we are communicating with other realms, that they are able to project into this realm, that they are positive, and that they are available to help us, and that they're explaining to us how to get their help, how to connect with them, how to be their friend. And some of us are successfully making those connections and succeeding doing that. And by opening ourselves up to these interdimensional energies, we are also reprogramming our DNA and opening up strings of our DNA, which is going to forever change our evolutionary path. So these are some of the things. I know I've shared things today that I haven't shared all at one time before for quite some time. And some of you that have been on this line recently never heard this. And so, when people say what's true and what's not true, when you have channeled sources and you ask a channeled source, well, what do you think of this? And then you go to another one and say, well, what do you think of this? And then you get different answers. You have to figure out, well, if there's two different answers, which one should I trust? And I've had to ask that question. And, of course, it is tricky because I have to assume, even though we have a track record of really positive, helpful guidance, there's always the chance that a negative might slip in, or that one of the thoughts of one of the channels might come in, and there'll be a bias in a channel. And I've told everybody that we have this extraordinary circumstance here that I can run things by actually three people, Matthew, Terry, or Daphne, if it's really important to come to a conclusion about something, that to really decide what's true and what isn't true. And here I've babbled all this time, And Terry, are you on the line, by any chance?
Yes, I am. I'm on the line.
Are you driving?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you, but it's too late to do a chat late.
Yeah.
I just went on and on and on, and we're just about to sign off from BBS right now, 6:50, and so you can say hello to everybody.
Hi, everybody. Out there in radio conference telephone land.
Yes. By the way, if you want to see Terry channeling, if you go to YouTube, that's YouTube, and I know I sent a link out to do this, and some of the people sent back the link doesn't work. So if you go to YouTube and then do a search in YouTube on Terry Brown Elohim, or Terry Brown Elohim, there's a channeling that Terry did, it'll come up. And if you do Daphne, you're not going to be able to spell Daphne's last name, so you have to say Daphne Elohim Vortex, and you'll see a channeling that Daphne did. And of course, this was unrehearsed. We never know when they're going to talk. We can intend it. Usually they do, but, you know, it's not like anyone knows what's going to be said. And they're live on YouTube, and the energy is very powerful in those channelings. So please check it out. And next week, you know, we have these two sources, the Ra Group and the Elohim Group, who are using us to communicate and bring a reference point of their energy onto this planet. So next week, I probably won't talk so much. We'll give those groups a chance to talk to us, as they've been doing now for 6 years. And if anyone's listening and wants to hear what they sound like, if you go to I would suggest just send an email to Suzanne@higher-vision.org, and she'll give you like lots of places where you go and watch or listen to many of their communications that have taken place over the past few years. So we're going to say goodbye to everyone on BBS Radio, and if you're listening on BBS and you're interested in joining our conference call or getting our free book called Questions and Answers with the Elohim, you can email me or Suzanne. Email me at winfrey@yahoo.com, and we'll send the book to you and tell us the story of what happened to me, and we will say goodbye to BBS. And going once, going twice, I'll assume that I'm off of BBS right now.